Father, Lord, we thank you that any way we could be used. We know this, we are nothing without you. And we know, Father, what we do for your glory. And we're grateful to know. We wouldn't know what you were doing with them and blessing them in situations, taking their loved one home and going to be the Lord. We wouldn't know about how you blessed them like we have if they had not have been here. And Lord, what a blessing it is to know that our people work so hard and we see the result of that work. I don't think anybody here that understands what God would do for someone like that who lost a loved one would regret one bit of energy, one bit of food cooking, one bit of being nice and trying our best to go the extra mile for the Lord when you see God working and blessing people when they are desperate in need. And Lord, we pray that you do that many times fold in the future. Help us now to open this book. Lord, we need to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. We certainly need to understand our relationship to you. We live in a time when people are defining the relationship with God in ways they never heard of before. And it just seems like everybody is going to be saved and just everybody live like they want to. And if something happens, just name and claim it. But really and truly, there's nothing that we see on the surface as much as the New Testament did when healing took place in places. I mean, hundreds of people were healed. And the Lord healed all their diseases where he went and everything that's happened. We have a lot of things today people talk about, and we know God is healing. But I believe when a person displays a healing in a way that they get some type of sufficient out of it, don't give God glory at all. And Lord, when you can use us and in turn do something, we give you glory, then we get out of the way because we want you to get the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we've been talking about and started on this journey of the self-existing one, God, the self-existing one. But then as I had a couple of weeks and during the last couple of weeks that hadn't got back to teaching till tonight, I wanted to go back at this thing of faith again. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you and I got to understand, the God of this book is so great that it's very easy for Satan to an unsaved man to make people laugh and think there's nothing like this God. He's beyond our thinking. He's certainly beyond any thinking in power. And since we are geared in flesh to look at things fleshly and give credit in flesh things, unless we can see something, we don't give any evidence of it until we see it. And one thing for sure, you won't see God working. You see the works of God. But you won't see God working without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And faith is a channel into an object. And the object, of course, is Jesus Christ. And our faith is God, in God, his object. And our faith to God is through Christ that we might have faith even to know who God is. And so it's important to understand this word of faith. And so we'll go back to Hebrews again and look at these few verses and make a few comments. And then we'll talk about some things about God. Because I've been so much amazed in the last few weeks, months of studying this. I'm such amazed. God is so much beyond what you and I think. When you begin to look at things, I mean, Dr. Mudd has been talking about Israel and coming out of the land of Egypt. We just think that was a hipscot and, you know, kind of done. But ladies and gentlemen, you're talking about three and a half million people. But it blows my mind to think how God did some things and he wrote it down and we read it and it seems to be in, yeah, I see it in my mind and maybe think it's so and not see how elaborate it is that God could do things and yet today people look at what he did and try to deny he did it. It couldn't have happened if he hadn't done it. But think about this, that's what a man's mind is when they're not saved. The natural man receives not the things of God, they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14. So I have to keep in my mind, this is the whole, I didn't know that, I didn't think this years ago when I got saved was trying to witness to people. But I have to keep in my mind that every time I talk to a person who's not saved, he will not understand one thing I'm saying unless I can get something they can see with his physical eyes. The Holy Spirit will have to open his eyes to faith because what you're saying seems ridiculous. There's a mockery in you about to go to a person who's intellectual of our age and talk about a man dying, blood being shed, and been washed in blood, which he can't even see because it's a spiritual washing, it's not a physical washing. And the only thing he thinks about, since he's in the physical world, about physical things. He's been washed in the blood. And he looks like somebody's going to take it. One person said, well, you're not going to wash me in the blood. Well, Jesus would have to do it if you're going to be saved. But he won't come down and get a bull or a lamb and get a pan and wash you that way in the blood, even though in the Old Testament, the innocent took the place of the guilty. So go back and approach again this thing about faith. And as we get there, to get to the point when we begin to look at God, the self-existent one, and realize, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, I don't know. It seems like today people feel like they have monopoly on God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we don't own God. But I tell you, if you're saved, he owns us. I didn't pay a price to God in the sense to have him redeem me. What could I pay? A lot of folks think today there's a price they can pay by the way they live, and in the end results, God's going to let everything be all right. No, if there's a price we could pay, Jesus Christ would never had to come to pay. So God has proved in history from Genesis to Revelation and for 4,000 years and now 2,000 after Jesus came, God has proved what he said that we have to accept by faith, that only through Jesus Christ can a person ever come to know who that true and living God is and live with him forever one day. But nowadays, God, he's been taught so many things. Have you heard the things that people talk today about what being saved is? It's unbelievable, some of the things people believe. Or are we so tied up in other things we're not even listening? You know what it'll do for you and I? It'll put you in this book more so than ever before. Because we've got to have an answer, folks, in these last days. And God wants us. God will not change his pattern just because it looks like the pattern's not going to work. God's not going to change his ways just because it may not look like it's going to work. He tells man it's going to wax worse and worse, and we're seeing that today. And yet, if you talk to people, you think they're better off now than they were a century ago. Have you talked to anybody lately? And then if you say anything about being saved, they think, you're just beating on me now. You think you're better. Satan has got a powerful advantage on people when it comes to where they're at and how much love you have and God has for them to try to sit down and reason with them about the scriptures. As I remember years ago, there's a feller that had Brother Heathery from Florida, a brilliant man. And when I was a young boy, he was up in his probably 60s, and tremendous preacher. And one day I heard he was going to be at a house with somebody, and I wanted to go over and just be with him. I was just probably 17 or 18 years old. In fact, that time I wasn't even saved. But I was a member of church. Amen. I thought I had it. I was ready. Amen. But I was lost. What a sad thought if I'd ever died before. I was in an automobile one time that turned over. Just an amazing thing. I was 17 years old. And we were going, a guy was riding down the road and doing anything bad. We just went over a little hill, and we saw some people coming across a bridge, and when he did, he just put on brakes. It was running mighty fast, but on the dirt road, it was like, you know, like glass, and just about the time he saw it, he hit the brake, and it didn't seem to be stopped, so he hit it harder. When it did, it slid around, and of all things, it slid in a ditch before it got to the bridge. And just, I was sitting on the right-hand side, and just about the time he hit the ditch, it went in slow motion. The force was so much, the car turned upside down. But it went in slow motion, and it went up and over on the bank, just like that, and hit the bank and put a V in the top where the bank was at, and it was sitting, it all four wheels sitting up like a turtle sitting up on his back. And we got out. Nobody got hurt. I think the driver hurt his hand a little bit. Nobody got hurt at all. But we were very thankful, and I said, good great, how in the world could that happen? And those people, but he was afraid he was going to hit those people coming across the bridge, and there was a whole, there was a bunch of young teenagers coming across the bridge, and when he hit the brake, instead of it stopping, it slid and hit the ditch, and like I said, it turned over. Well, we turned it back over, and he drove it home. And I got to thinking about, how in the world? The top was bent into the seat. It's one of them, hadn't, even though it's like it was, one of them hadn't got hurt real bad. Like scared his daddy to death because he got home, backed it up under the shelter. His mother and daddy wanted home, and he got the pickup, and he left, and I went home. And he says when his daddy drove up, they had a panic. They didn't know what had happened. That car sitting like it was there. But I got thinking about, suppose I'd have got killed. Folks, I'm going to tell you, God's good. I'm going to tell you, there's some. If you be honest and analyze your life with the scriptures and what God is doing, instead of the way we do these days, you're going to find out God to you and I is more than what we think He is or make Him sometimes when it comes to our lives. And so I want to go back and talk about this thing of faith, because if you look, and just to read the last two verses of chapter 10, it says again, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And the next verse says, now faith. And that's what I want to talk about just a little bit. To get in perspective what's going on, to understand this great, gigantic God who is all-powerful, all-knowledgeable, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God can only be seen through the eyes of faith. And you've heard me say hundreds of times, we see the evidence of Him, but only through the eyes of faith will we see who He really is. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Why did I say that? In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible teaches me that faith cometh by hearing, and not just thy hearing my physical ears, because you and I heard a lot of things before we were saved with our physical ears. It didn't help us spiritually that much. It seems the fact that we hear not only with our ears, but now being saved, faith becomes a reality. And as he tells us here, now it's the substance of things hoped for, the other things not seen. And then he said again, for by the elders attained a good report. And then verse 3 tells us why we know all of this was made by God. Just a simple statement. Notice in verse 3, he said, through faith, we understand. Unsaved people understand. Intellectual people smarter than you and I look at this universe and they say, boy, I'll tell you what, I just don't know how this happened, but God didn't do it. Well, tell me what did it then? Well, you don't say who, because if God didn't do it, there's no one else could do it. So what happens is they begin to tell you how it happened. It just a big bang came millions of years ago. It always amazed me. At least I've been dumb, but I'm smart enough to know that an animal type person or a thing has no power to exist, to create anything. There's no way in this world that that which has no life in it, that's like that chair or anything you see in here, could all of a sudden have the power to come into existence and create itself, have the energy to create itself, and especially when you see something as gigantic as this universe is. And yet they refuse to talk about intelligent design, because that's the only alternative they have except the Big Bang Theory. And then they think, we're dumb. Good gracious, I don't know what they're fools. That's what they are. And you say, you didn't call them that. I didn't. God said, a fool said in his heart, there's no God. And so God calls them that. So I see, then he said, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, preacher, you're telling me that God one day, just God by color, that nobody knows anything about except he says he was here and you believe he's here and so forth. Just one day he decided he'd create things and he just spoke it and put it into existence? Yes. Absolutely. I can't see that. I know you can't. That's the reason why I want to do my best to open the scriptures and use that which the Holy Spirit would use to draw you to the Lamb of God. I don't need the Lamb of God. What is the Lamb of God? Jesus Christ. That's a person, not a lamb. You go through all these things. I remember Brother Heather was talking to a young fellow that day after lunch, and he was reading scripture, and he was reading from the book of Romans, and he read the scriptures about salvation, Romans 10:9-10. And the guy rebuked him on catch, said, I don't necessarily have to believe what you believe about that. And he said, son, let me ask you why. Look at what it's saying. He said, that's what you say it says. I said, so read it. He read it. He said, now what did it say? Yeah, I said, I know what it says, but I don't have to accept that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's no hope for anybody who won't accept God's word. Because if there is any authority, it's Him. And so faith has to begin to be generated to believe that God that he is real, without faith it's impossible to please him. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, and he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them, what? That diligently seek him. Now it simply says there, without faith it's impossible to please him, but at the same time, he says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that simply says, you can't really discuss who God is to someone who doesn't believe they exist. But that's what the Holy Spirit puts in our heart to do, to take the Word of God that's powerful in their heart when they hear it and draw them to the Lamb of God. And so he says, on, he says, so the things which are seen are not made with the things which do appear. Now, faith then is a way of living God's approved lifestyle. And we get it through study. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the Word of God. And it comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I love to go back because this helped me now to rehearse when I keep saying the Holy Spirit inspired this book, and the Holy Spirit God gives us when we trust Christ as Savior to give us revelation to know what God is saying from this book. And once we get to know what he said, that is, I can read it. I can read when he said, faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I could read that before I got saved. But it's always knowledge. It's just knowledge. It didn't illuminate my heart or anything. You know, it's like anything else I read, and I read it, and you know, after I read it, that's it. So the Holy Spirit inspired the book, then the Holy Spirit moves in when we get saved to help us have the revelation of the book, which is knowledge of the book, but he goes further than that. The Holy Spirit, once we trust Christ as Savior, gives us the understanding, that's the illumination of the book, that we can understand spiritual things. So when I'm alone with my Lord, or in the morning, night, in my office, home, or here, wherever, and spend my time in this book, prayerfully, Holy Spirit of God, who inspired it, who wants me to have knowledge, that God wants me to have knowledge, he wants to have knowledge about him. But knowledge about him won't be enough unless the Holy Spirit lives in someone. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, a person who's not saved could read this and have a knowledge about God without being saved? They could say, well, I read that where God said he came, and that's knowledge. If you read it and see it, it would be knowledge. But it may not be illuminated enough to be able to understand what it is that God is trying to reveal to a heart. So faith is a way of living God's approved life. Faith is not a game. It's not a gimmick. It's not just wishful thinking. When you see, in Romans 1:17, he says, the just shall live by faith. In Romans 12, verse 3, I want you to turn there with me just a moment, because it gives an insight as we look in Romans chapter 12 for me for just a minute. And I want you to take a good look at a few verses here. We know what verse 1 and 2 says. And verse 1 and 2 shows us how we have our relationship with God. We who are saved are born into the family of God, but that relationship, walking in Christ and in the light, doesn't come unless we obey God in what he says to do to walk in that light. I used a lot of times when I was born physically, some of the things I know, and I learned through the years and apply that to help make life easier. Be born again is to know that I'm born again, and then apply those things that in that light can be seen for others. And he tells in verse 12, get it over with. I said again, I beseech you therefore you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Notice what he said. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Wonder why. There's no way in the world that you can present your body a living sacrifice unless it's in line with God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it be where it should be, that you have control of that by your spirit being quickened, made alive unto the Lord. And then he says, even though that, and I showed you the arena, that, you know, how the body is in the way, and then when you get saved, the spirits open up and the body's at the end. So the body can receive from God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and our spirit and soul into the body, can receive what's need to be done. So we know what that we need to do. But he says, then I beseech you that you present your body. Now, why is that? Because it's our body that we're in. This body is like the train. If it don't go, I don't go. Or like the plane or automobile. I can get in an automobile and sit there today. I die. If it don't go, it's no good. Well, this body is like that. So he said there is a bringing the body into subjection to do what God wants us to do. And so he says here, By the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And when he says that, in case you think it's so much, that's a reasonable request, just a reasonable thing. You notice my heart, you know, again, to get what we're going to right now. And he said in verse 2, be not conformed to this world, be transformed in your mind, you might prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, that's how we have a relationship with God, through faith. We are born again, but I tell you, there's more to it than born again, going to heaven, because this here two verses tells us there's something after you get saved. There's something after we get saved, but you don't see. How many people you see are really seeking what God wants them to do after they get saved? Most of the time, they accept what they want to do and say, God, you don't be pleased with that. It can't be that way, folks. When we stand before God one day, it's going to be his way and no way. And then notice in verse 3 down a few verses, when you get here, he's talking about service. He's talking about the child of God. So God gives all his people the measure of faith. Look in verse 3. He says, for I say through the grace that's given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And that's automatically, because what God has done for us could make us, our mind, you know, think we're something. And we're not. We're still just God's people saved by grace. That's all there is to it. It'll be that way until we get to glorify our body on the other side. And then when you get over there and see how things really are, you really, really rejoice the fact that you made it there through Jesus Christ. He said, then he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man, watch this, the measure of faith. Now, measures of faith that he's given to every man, some measure of faith. Once you and I get saved, there is a measure of faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. There's a measure of faith God gives us for the purpose not only to get us in that we have in the family. Faith in Jesus Christ to receive him makes us children of God. But now there's a measure of faith to growth. And how I use that measure of faith will determine where he measures any more faith. And this measure of faith is very important. So what's happened, God gives to us all, his people, the measure of faith. This is the intelligent relationship of actually service to God with others. The first two verses, the intelligent relationship to be born into the family of God. But now after we're saved, there's a measure of faith that we can move together. And in Corinthians tells us how that is, the body, uses the body as an example. We can move together in using that measure of faith and why the whole body is necessary. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, every member of this church is necessary. But when there's a case where the members are necessary and don't perform, then God would use others to make up the difference. And we'll come up one day and realize, hey, God measured out faith to all, but just won't use. Well, God called me to preach, be different. No, if God called you to preach and you weren't serving God before he's preached, it won't make any difference. You got to realize God has a standard and a procedure. And there'll be some, it's like you heard many times say, especially missionaries talking about it, say, you know, God calls someone to mission field. And I've heard one right here in this pulpit back a few years ago make a statement. Listen, if you don't let God use you to walk the street to win someone, don't think you can go to somewhere else and win someone. It's got to start somewhere other than where we're going. Because what happened is, if I get defeated, go across the street or downtown, and then I get in a foreign field, I have some of these missionaries get to a foreign field somewhere or another, a different culture, a different way, everything is different, then Satan will very easily defeat me there. You got to love souls, and then you don't care where God sends you. Amen? You don't care. You hear someone say, well, I've heard many times missionaries say, boy, I was in the service over here, and I was such place, and I said, man, I never go to this place again. I'd be glad to get out of here. And next thing you know, 5 years later, he's back over there as a missionary. Why? God is first, in spite of what we may think. Now, I like this because he teaches this. The next verses three down to a few verses here is an intelligent relationship as we talk about entering with each other. First two verses is an intelligent relationship, been born into the family of God to worship and serve God. Then he shows the next verse 3 down to about verse 13, the relationship with each other. And you go to Church of Corinth and see he talked about the body, that you know, the hands, the foot, and so forth, how they work together. And who's the head? Christ is the head. Just like our head's the head. This body from here down won't do a thing without this. Won't do a thing. If it does anything, probably it'd be erratic. Right? Where's the control center? And the older we get, the weaker it gets. But I love what I'm seeing as study this thing of faith. So you cannot measure the Bible with intellectual perception. And I prove that in 1 Corinthians 2:14. Natural man receives not the things of God, for their spirit to discern. You cannot understand the Bible with natural perception. In Christ, we enter into a new relationship with God. And verse 1 and 2 tells us that. And we end up also in a new relationship with each other. Folks, look at yourself. Where are you at tonight with God's people? If we won't save you, you won't be here, would you? You say, why, preach? Because you've got a better place to go if you won't save. But you don't have a better place to go other than where God puts us. Because here's things for eternity. If you look at things in light of eternity, and so here, we cannot understand the Bible just intellectual perception. We have to have the Holy Spirit of God. So in Christ, we have a new relationship with God, and in Christ, we have a new relationship with each other. Hey, the odds are I wouldn't probably know probably anybody in here if you were not saved. If I hadn't got saved, God led here, and God, you saved and led you, a lot of us don't even know each other unless it's in the individual family. At least say amen to that. You know, I'm telling you something is true. But in Romans chapter 6 and verse 14 through 23, I just want to read that because we looked at that back a few months ago, and he tells us a little bit more how this works together. I'm talking about developing this thing. Now faith is the substance they hope for, else things not seen. He said, for in sin, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law but under grace. I love to read those things because they help me understand that where law is in my life, where grace is in my life, that puts Christ where he ought to be in my life because the law cannot save me. And yet on the other hand, the law is important for me to be involved in after I'm saved. And then he's noticed this, and I've had this said to me many times. For we are not under the law, he said, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? And I'm glad he put God forbid because I've had that said many times to me. Well, boy, I'll tell you what, I'm saved. You say you're saved. Yeah, I'm saved. When I got born again, just like I got born in the flesh for until I die, and I got born in the family of God forever. And they say, well, if I believe that, I just live like I please. God forbid! That's what Paul said. That mentality, a person can't even be saved. To think that you could trust God and then live like you want to live, nobody, and God not care? If that be the case, God wouldn't care how you got saved. But he does care how you get saved. And he does care how we live. And he tells us that here. And then he goes on, he said, know ye not? Don't you know that to whom ye yield your servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or to obedience unto righteous? But God be thanked that ye were the servant of sin, that's where we got saved, for ye have obeyed him from the heart, that from the doctrine which was delivered you, that's the teachings you heard about salvation, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And I speak after the manner of man because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness unto iniquity, even so now yield your servants, your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. He said, for you literally, you just did that, if I may explain, that which is worse, that which is worse, that which is worse, that which is worse. Oh, you had some good times, but you had worse and worse. Oh, it is. You get saved. Now it's turned around. God give you the ability to yield yourself to holiness. To what he says as we go, God is holy. And we look at what he says about life and we do our best to bring this flesh in control to realize none of us has this flesh 100% in control all the time. And therefore, we have some problems with it. And so we go back again and Romans 6, 14 down to 23. It said, I have God's righteousness by faith and not by works. So when God saves you and me, God makes us better. He makes us clean. He makes us where sin can't condemn us. But once we get saved, he makes us better by serving him. Being not conformed to the world, being transformed. I said that before. And so that helps me understand. Being born physically comes from a mother and dad in the sense of how God brought together procreation. But now, being born into the physical world, there's a lot of things to do to grow there, that I could be better here, get ahead here, do a lot of things that we think about in the physical life. So I have this righteousness by faith, not by works. And when God saves you, God's Word makes us better. Just like when I was born physically, what I learned intelligently and used the God-given abilities I had make my life better. And same with God. To walk with Him makes my spiritual life better and learn things while I'm in this life for His glory. And Paul said, here sin cannot dominate us, cannot rule us, cannot govern us as a way of life. God's law was good and holy, but man could not keep it. And we see that in Romans chapter 3. And of course, just go back and read that. I think Brother Money had a couple of these verses the other day, but let's go back and read for the clearance here. He said in verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no law flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And so he said, I can't understand anybody who would read that and say they could be saved by keeping the law. Because it gives a double thing. No flesh shall be justified. No flesh shall be justified, declared right in God's sight. Why? Because the law just gives a knowledge of sin. The law tells us that where sin is at. And it abounds more when we break it. And then he said, but now, I love that. Over here we see that in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, he talked about faith. It's always interesting. He said, but we're not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them who believe through the saving of the soul. But now, or now, faith is the subject. But here he says, once he said, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, wait a minute, what is the righteousness of God? The righteousness of God has to be had before we can go to heaven. We can't get in there in our own righteousness. Then he says, the righteousness of God, watch, without the law. That means apart from the law. And then he said, is manifested, been witnessed by the law and the prophets. So even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of or in Jesus Christ, there it is. He tells us that now the righteousness of God without the law, but the righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks for itself. And then he said, and to all, and upon all them, what? That believe. For there is no difference. And those that believe, John 1:12, is one who receives Jesus as Savior. For all have sinned, come short of God, and been justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful verse of scripture. Now, faith is a channel that we see Jesus Christ through. And once we receive Him, He talks about walking through the door. He is the door into this salvation. And so, here sin doesn't come. Now, dominate us. Now, faith moves us beyond the way of thinking. Physically. You mean to tell me there's a God that made all the... Amen. There sure is. You mean there's a... That God, the Holy Spirit, God... If I believe that God exists, I believe what He said about the Holy Spirit. He says He gave me the Holy Spirit the day I got saved. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, He said in Romans 8, you're not saved. That's back forth then. It shows you both ways. You either have Him or you don't have Him. You have Him if you're born again. If you're not born again, you don't have Him. So He tells us that here, now faith says, forget what happened yesterday. Don't worry about that because it's under the blood. And then don't worry about tomorrow because faith is for today. When I say don't worry about tomorrow, you certainly plan things, but you don't fret. I don't worry about where I'm going spiritually. I know the destiny that God's made is a hell and a lake of fire. And there's a heaven, streets of gold. I don't worry about going to the lake of fire, ladies and gentlemen. Do you? If not, then you can't see what God's done. Why would I trust Him and distrust Him about my destiny? When I understand the Scriptures and understand with God's help, because you can't understand without that. And that's reading the Holy Spirit He gives to us for this purpose now. To do that. And so what happens is this. You forget the past. Let me ask you something. Why should we forget the past who were saved? Help me out. What? It's under the blood. It's the blood that takes away sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's under the blood. Why should I worry about the past when God said it's under the blood? And when it's under the blood, it is erased. The books at the great white throne judgment has nothing in it for those who are saved. Instead, the book of life is there where the names are written in it and they have nothing in it to condemn us to be judged at the great white throne judgment. Why? Because we're saved. Sin was judged at Calvary for you and I. But thank God Almighty, there's strange rewards in life. And that's another thing we need to look at. So forget the past, because that's under the blood. Live for God in the present. Why? To glorify the Father, to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, to yield to the Holy Spirit of God. So I'll learn more about what to do with the Father and Son, even though why I learned that, there's many things I blow at the time. Try to do something, think it's by faith, and suddenly sight be more than by faith. And then look for the future. And what is that? Jesus said he's coming again. By the way, hear me. If Jesus didn't mean that and don't come again, what we're doing now don't worth nothing. It's not worth anything. The fact I can look to the future and believe that is because God kept his word about Calvary for 4,000 years since he made the first sacrifice for Adam and Eve. And he did send the Holy Spirit. His Son did come after he died. He did go back to the Father. All things he said, everything he said about the church is taking place. In prophecy, even now, we read things written before that was written in the last days is taking place. So for sure that he promised he's coming again to get us, he's not lying. If he did, everything else would be a lie. And I love that. So I got 3 points in this, and then we get into God's self-existence. And it's simple as this. Faith in Christ started my relationship with God. But you know the world's not. Did you know, folks, that a lot of folks in this world think they can have a relationship with God without Jesus Christ? There is a lot of folks in this nation feels that way. Oh, yeah, I have a relationship. I don't have to go through your method. We don't have a method. We have a way. We didn't create the way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then some of you just said that, period. But he said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Isn't that amazing? And so faith in Christ starts our relationship with God. And that's what I liked the other day, boy, because I've been studying this when Dr. Bruce Barton, Hebrews 12:2, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And we'd be looking unto him, unto Jesus, while we're here in this life. It's a good journey. I hope you enjoy it. I wish I could get you to do it like I do, but I don't know. Father, please, help us understand. Without faith, it's impossible to please you. So we got to understand. Someone say, well, I already know about faith. Well, don't hurt to rehearse it. Well, I don't need to hear any more about faith. Oh, yes, we do, because we walk by faith. The just shall walk by faith, not by sight. And Father, all of us can see by sight. Sad to say, though, some people look at the same thing, see different things. A lot of times that's been done in the spiritual world. Something happens and two people see the same thing and yet they see different things. Or hear something that's different. But I'm glad, Father, this book is kept intact for our heart. There's a lot we may not know because of ignorance and because we may not study like we should. But Lord God, I believe everything that you want us to know in the measure of faith is given to us, if we'll use that, then we'll find faith been added. The Bible talks about great faith, much faith, more faith. Lord, and we just pray that that will be the situation as we grow in grace and knowledge. You find us responsible enough to grow in faith and help us be the best we need to be. And even that would be a poor example if we line ourselves up with your precious word. Now, as we look at this at this hour, we're leading to see God, the self-existing one. Dear Lord, I pray you magnify him in a way we've never seen him before. And when that happens, then we'll understand that Christ is exalted. We see more. It amazes me, Lord, when I think about Father's Day and work on a message. Jesus said, my Father. You don't find anywhere that he was mentioned as a father per se, like Christ mentioned him as my Father while he was here. And yet, Lord, when you taught us to pray in Matthew 6, you say, pray this way, our Father which is in heaven. Our Father. Boy, I'm glad to know you're my Father. But Lord, tonight we as a body of believers here pray, our Father, please hear us. Our Father, please teach us. Our Father, please help us. Our Father, help us when we're down and when we might be led in the wrong direction. Help us to be strong when others are weak. And when I'm weak, they be strong. Our Father, Lord, we need you so much. And Jesus said, my Father, and he is our personal Father through Jesus Christ. But here tonight, he's our Father. And God teaches us there are times we pray collective together to our Father, because we all have the same Father through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.